detail people, you know what I'm talking about. Detail people, we look at all the little bits and pieces that make a project go together. We're the ones who notice every little thing that's off in a project that you do. When the house is messy, when something's out of place, it bothers you. You know if you're a detail person. I'll say I am a detail person. My wife will say no, but that's just because she's more of a detail person than I am. Some of us are detail people, and some of us aren't. And I should say, being a detail person is not a good or a bad thing. It's just the way we are. I suspect some of us are hosting Christmas gatherings either tonight or tomorrow or sometime this week. And if you are a detail person like me, you don't just hold an event like that. You don't just kind of set stuff out and wing it, right? If you're a detail person, you've got to plan it. You plan every detail. Who's doing what we're eating, where the food goes, where each piece of food goes, what people are doing and how long the whole event will be and how much we need of everything and so forth. Some people are nodding. Yes, you do that. And then if you're really a detail person, you make another set of plans, because what do we do just in case that first set doesn't work out? Detail people tend to make good accountants, good engineers, good foremen, people like that, professions where it's important to think things through all the way to the last little dot. Think things through very carefully. Detail people tend to make very good party planners, good administrators, good organizers, the sort of professions where you have to keep track of many things at once. And I know lots of you here, and I know that we have some detail people here with us. It's all good, too, I should say, if you're not a detail person. That is okay. Like I said, it's the way we are. And you know what? In fact, the world does need people who can forget about the details sometimes. Sometimes it's more important to maybe dream big, to look for a vision, to discover a vision for our communities, to discover a direction, a big picture direction to go. Sometimes it's more important to move quickly in the kind of the right general direction instead of planning out every little stop along the way. So if you're a detail person or not, that's good. Like I said, I am a detail person, but I've noticed, and you may have noticed this too, because you don't have to be a detail person to see that often it's the details in our lives that trip us up, whether you're a detail person or not. Things like simply managing a household, even paying the bills on time. My wife and I are on a brand new adventure this year where we have 3 children, and we have 2 twins that just turned 1, and so our house is kind of crazy. And managing a household, making sure all of our bills get paid when they come in the mail and then they go back out at the right time, it turns out that's kind of hard to do. Sometimes it can be. It takes a lot of attention, a lot of focus. And when you've only got so much attention, you tend to mess up on those things. How many of us have let one of those details slip? You mess up, you end up paying maybe more than you wanted to, or something else happens. How about this? For those of us with debt, and many of us have debt today, whether it's cars or homes or student loan debt or credit cards even, that's the worst, it seems. Managing all those loans, managing all those details is kind of tough to do, to keep track of all that. Students, young people, I heard many of you talking last week about finals week. You were finishing up all these last tests, and how many of you memorized every single detail perfectly? You got 100% on all of your tests. College students, this was a few weeks ago for you. Anyone do it perfectly? Get every detail just right? I don't think so. I was a good student when I was a student, but I wasn't that good. Not many people are. How about family details? Appropriate for this Christmas time where we're having family gatherings and things like that. How easy is it for us to forget one little detail about our family and then offend someone? You forget someone has a special need, something that they need to eat. Or you forget that someone else just had a breakup or a promotion or a layoff or something that you should really remember but you didn't, and then they get offended and there's family drama. Maybe that happened. Or maybe it's so hard to remember all of the nieces and nephews and how old they are and what grade they're in and what's going on in their lives. And you can't keep track of it all, right? Well, no matter who you are, no matter how old you may be or how young you may be, no matter if you're a child, an adult, a parent, or a grandparent, it's those details that get us. We recognize in some way and somehow we are going to miss something. We are going to slip up. We recognize we can't even take care of all these little details of our own lives. And as we think about the big problems facing us as a society, as humanity, we got to ask ourselves, how can we possibly even hope to take care of all the details required to do something like improving our world in a big way? How could we possibly handle all the details required to do something like eliminating poverty or homelessness? We see this time of year many people like to give to those sorts of causes through the Salvation Army and things like that. Can we possibly fix that problem? How can we possibly handle all the details required to win the battle against drug addiction and overdoses, this big problem that's been coming up in the last few years? How could we possibly heal every family? How could we possibly accept and love every person? The truth is that we can't. There is simply too much to do. We can't save our world all by ourselves. We can't save ourselves all by ourselves. There are simply too many details for us to handle. I've been reading a book with some folks here at Southwest. It's called Joining Jesus on His Mission by a guy named Greg Finke. He calls himself a neighborhood missionary, and he does a pretty good job of it. And he likes to say things this way. He says he and his wife, they like to go to neighborhood events. Think art shows out, you know, in the public square. They like to go to school events like plays, like sports, things like that. And Greg Finke says this. They watch people at these events, and he says, as I stand back at an art festival or a school, and I see both the beauty and the pain exhibited, I ask myself, what would be good news to these people? What aspect of the gospel would bring some healing to their wounds and restoration to their lives? Each person's life is a complex and unique story of beauty and brokenness. And working out the redemption and restoration for any one of these people would be complex beyond measure. And he lets you think for a moment, and the next sentence is a question. But for all people, to sort out and make right all that has been ruined and lost for all people throughout time is so overwhelmingly complex, it can only be worked out by the Son of God Himself. The Christmas good news for you and me this Christmas Eve is that Jesus is very good at handling the details of our lives and of our world. We can see this in our scripture reading. You know this scripture reading if you've spent any time in the church at all. And if you haven't spent much time in the church, that's cool too. We're glad you're here with us. But many of us know this story very well. This is the story of Jesus' birth on that very first Christmas day. And the first few verses of our reading, they tell us that the emperor over the whole Roman Empire at that time, he ordered a census to be taken, and so everyone has to go and register in their family's hometown. And a neat detail, a little information from these verses, is how this lines up with ancient historical records. Ancient historical records tend to be kind of patchy and spotty, but we do know we have records of this governor, this man Quirinius, who is mentioned here. He oversaw a census of that province in 6 AD, several years after Jesus was born. We don't have any historical record of the first census that he took or an earlier census that he took, except for Luke's gospel. Luke, the historian of the gospel writers, he tells us that this story is part of the first census that this guy Quirinius oversaw. And there's this cool detail, this one little kind of side comment that most of us gloss right over that shows us, that lines up the nativity story with other ancient documents we found. That's the kind of detail God is pretty good at. Well, in the story, Joseph and Mary travel to Bethlehem, and Mary is pregnant. And if you've ever been pregnant, you know that not just in that day, but today too, pregnant women don't like to go traveling when they are very close to their due date, when they're far along in the pregnancy. But Mary had to go because the Roman Empire in that day, they counted both men and women for the purpose of taxing the provinces that they controlled. That's another detail. And so Mary had to go, and indeed the people and places themselves that we read about in this scripture reading, they're basically details. They're historical details. They're almost historical footnotes. Mary and Joseph were nobody people from an out-of-the-way, nowhere town. And Joseph's profession, that of a carpenter or even kind of a builder is the word, and since building is often a lot of that is just carrying heavy things from place to place. That would have been a big part of his job. And so Joseph's profession was really nothing special either. The towns of Nazareth and Bethlehem were both small places. overshadowed by the presence of nearby Jerusalem. And if in that day you were thinking, where do I go to see important people and important things happen, you would have thought about Jerusalem, not Bethlehem. Jerusalem was where important people gathered. Jerusalem was where important things happened, not Bethlehem. Bethlehem was just a detail in that day. And so Joseph, Mary, and Jesus, they were just a detail too. They weren't even worthy enough to find a place to stay in the guest room in their family's home. The only place they had to stay was this stable with the animals. And so the time comes for the baby Jesus to be born, and his mother Mary tends to him, takes care of him like a mother does with a new child. She wraps him in clean cloth. She places him in a manger, a feeding trough for the animals. Well, God uses another detail that first Christmas night, because there are shepherds in the fields around Bethlehem. And shepherds had lived and worked in those fields for a long, long time. Bethlehem was a farming and agrarian sort of place. There were shepherds. And they lived and worked tending flocks of sheep in the very same hills. Interesting detail, where a young man named David had lived around 1,000 years earlier. David, before he was King David, had lived as a shepherd. And once he became King David, God gave him the promise that one day he would send a descendant of David, that one day a descendant of his would come to rescue God's people from all sin and death and brokenness and darkness. And now, 1,000 years after that prophecy was given, that descendant has arrived in the very town where David spent his years as a young man, as a shepherd. Another detail. So angels appear to these shepherds, and they are terrified. But the angel said to them, the angels often say this to people when they appear in Scripture, don't be afraid, because heavenly beings are kind of terrifying, apparently, to see. I've never seen one. Maybe you have. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And this is the good news of Christmas, that God has sent his Son to be Jesus, our Savior. That this baby who was born to Mary isn't just a detail. That Jesus is the one whom God's people have been waiting for. That Jesus is in fact the one whom every heart, then and now, is yearning for, crying out for. Jesus is a simple baby, yes, but he's more than that too. Jesus is the Messiah, the one whom God has chosen to heal us, to restore us, and to make us new. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God himself. He has the power and the ability to do all these things for you and for me. Little words like Messiah, little words like Lord, more details that tell us just how big a deal it is that Jesus was born on that first Christmas day. And because he is Messiah, because he is Lord, Jesus can handle all the details of your life and mine, all of our little failures that add up and become overwhelming, and all of our not-so-little failures, too, Jesus can overcome them. And all of our hurts, all of our illnesses, all of our injuries, Jesus can heal those, too. All of our heartaches, Jesus can comfort them. All of our inner troubles, all of our family arguments, Jesus can give us peace. And so no matter what your problem is, and we all have problems, no matter what your problem is, Jesus, this baby born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, Jesus is the answer. And all these details that always get us in the end, well, they don't give Jesus any trouble at all. Again, Greg Finke, the guy I mentioned earlier, he says this really well. He says, Jesus takes on the overwhelmingly complex work of setting all things right again for each person and for all people. Those people whom we find at art fairs, at middle schools, and in our neighborhoods, that's what Jesus meant when he said his amazing words in John 3:16 that many of us know. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's what Jesus was talking about, was setting all these details right, was taking care of your life and mine. Well, the shepherds on that Christmas morning saw this truth, and they returned to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Another interesting detail is these shepherds, having heard the angels and seen the Savior, they didn't go running through the streets of Bethlehem shouting the good news in the night. They didn't become missionaries and go out and tell everyone they could see. They returned. They went back to their fields. They went back to their sheep. The shepherds went back to work with their hearts full of gladness at what they had seen. And I think that shows us that this good news is not just for pastors or missionaries or those people you might think of as church people. This good news is for everyone in whatever walk of life we find ourselves in. This good news is for you. And I have to ask you, think ahead to Tuesday morning or next week or whenever this Christmas holiday is over for you and that day when you go back to normal life, where will your heart be? Do you know Jesus? Will your heart be like these shepherds, full of joy and praising God for what you have seen and heard, giving him glory for the fact that his son has arrived to save us all, for the fact that Jesus has the power to take care of all these details of our lives that trip up you and me? I hope you do. But if you don't know Jesus, if maybe you're just wondering if maybe he's someone you should get to know better, if you're realizing in your heart that you really can't make it on your own and you do need someone to save you, you do need him, then turn to Jesus because he's here for you. He's here for you. Don't let this Christmas Eve service be your one dose of Jesus until next December 24th. Get connected with God's people, whether here or somewhere else. It doesn't matter where, as long as you're connected with God's people, because there you're connected with Jesus too. And there he is working in your life to save you, to shape you, to form you. We aren't perfect people here. And you know what the good news is? We don't have to be perfect people in order for Jesus to love us. In fact, that's the point. He comes to us and loves us because we need his help. If you let him, Jesus will change your life. And you can have the peace and the contentment and the assurance that comes from knowing that you have the Lord of heaven and earth on your side. This same baby who was born on Christmas Day. That he is here to lift you up when those details, the problems, the hurts, and the challenges of your life become too much. He is here for you. He can handle it. And he's here for you. Amen. Hey, let's think.